First Voices Indigenous Radio. You can hear it in about 5 or 10 minutes on WBAI.org. Coming up next is Ecologic. So stay tuned for environmental news and information.
A parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, then tell me where we gonna plant our seed. It makes me wanna cry.
Solar power, ever see a windmill go? Feel the pull of an ocean wave, the heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do, there's so much we could know, if we listen to the earth.
Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Dennis Stein.
And this is Ecologic for January 14th, 2020, here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. When your air or water is clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
On today's news and announcements.
Protecting one-third of Earth.
Changing body temperatures.
The worst U.S. environmental justice.
Environmentalists officially labeled terrorists. Oh, my.
Off-site nuclear emergency planning shrunk.
First, a couple of articles from EcoWatch.com. We love EcoWatch.com here. Olivia Rosan has an article in today's EcoWatch.com about the United Nations wanting to stop the sixth mass extinction that is going on right now by protecting about one-third of the Earth in the next 10 years. The Convention on Biological Diversity has a 14-page report, yes, we link to it, from a UN working group. Remember the clip we played of Harrison Ford saying at an Extinction Rebellion conference, don't forget nature? Well, the United Nations hasn't. That's good news. It's part of keeping global temperatures down. We're glad to say that the report last year that got all of that publicity wasn't the last thing the UN did. One of their 20 goals calls for the full and effective participation in conservation decision-making of indigenous communities, women, and young people. There's hope.
98.6, it's good to have you back again. Oh, hey, 98.6, I love
it. Our bodies are ecosystems, home to hundreds of species of microbes that we could not survive or thrive without. Our bodies have a narrow temperature range that changes slightly during the day. But an article in EcoWatch.com tells us it's also changed over the years. Most of you know that our average body temperature is 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit, but that average was established in 1851, and it's lower now, averaging 97.9, about 3/4 of a degree less. It's still going down ever so slightly, over 1 degree in the past 200 years.
I want to hear more about that and what it means. All right. From the UK Guardian, it figures that we'd find this out in a foreign newspaper, an article by Drew Costley in the UK Guardian, the blackest city in the U.S. is facing an environmental justice nightmare. Now, you would think the headline might be Westchester, PA. That's a toxic nightmare small city. But it's Detroit and has among the highest levels of toxic air, lead poisoning, and water shutoffs anywhere. Read how they're fighting back. Follow the Ecolink. This is not to disregard the environmental justice concerns in our listening area, but this is worth shining a light on. Things can get this bad.
Remember when the U.S. government put the raging grannies on its terrorist list 13 or 14 years ago? Well, two related articles from the UK Guardian newspaper tell of how the U.S. and United Kingdom governments are so protective of polluting industries that both countries have officially and legally put environmental groups on their terrorist lists. No, they haven't killed anyone, but they do loudly criticize and inconvenience industries who make a lot of campaign donations and receive billions, with a B, of dollars of tax subsidies and tax breaks. They are listed along with organizations who do kill and advocate killing. The fossil fuel and nuclear industries are allowed to break ethics, morals, rules, regulations, and laws. But if an organization is very effective in pointing that out, they are the ones called domestic terrorists. Good work, fellas. I was recently lectured by someone who told me there is no such thing as a ruling class. Obviously, there is, and they pay the police and military and courts and politicians to do their bidding. The UK Labour Party might be making this a campaign issue. They're against listing Extinction Rebellion. The current Home Secretary is for it. We're waiting for it to be a campaign issue in the US. How can they tell kids trying to make the future better that they're terrorists when the corporations who are ruining their future are the ones who are not called terrorists?
BeyondNuclear.org reports that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission is going to shrink off-site nuclear emergency planning. What?
Oh, man.
Even eliminate some of it. Who is a terrorist? One NRC commissioner called the rule flimsy, but he was outvoted 3-1, even though FEMA criticized it, the Federal Emergency Management Agency versus the NRC. Get that one.
Yeah, right. Environment TV airs on Manhattan Neighborhood Network every other Sunday at 11 a.m. and is often a video version of Ecologic. But yesterday, it aired from 9 to 10 p.m. as well. Yay, Charlie Olson.
If you miss any WBAI show, it should be on WBAI.org archives 5 or 10 minutes after the show ends. To read the full articles we summarized on any episode of Ecologic from the past few years, we link to all of those articles on the Ecolinks page of the Ecologic website. Bookmark this, www.ecoradio.org. No dots, no dashes, ecoradio.org.
Our Facebook page is WBAI Ecologic, no spaces or dashes, WBAI Ecologic. And please click like. For more environmental news, go to theenvironmenttv.com, biologicaldiversity.org, or ecowatch.com. www.ecoradio.org is the main Ecologic page and will get you to the past guest page, the Ecolinks page, and our own permanent archives, ecoradio.org.
Now, New York City Friends of Clearwater's monthly gathering is always on the third Friday, almost always on the third Friday of each month. This is the third Friday, so January 17th, this coming Friday at Judson Church, 238 Thompson Street. The potluck starts at 6:30. Bring some goodies. The evening ends with a circle of songs, so everyone is welcome to come with their instruments and their voices and other creative talents. You got some wonderful writing you've done, poetry. But the topic of the discussion in the center of the gathering this month is the historic legislation for nuclear disarmament soon to be passed by the New York City Council. And that is January 28th, and you're going to hear more about that because Alice Slater will be there Friday night. She's a longtime activist and shared winner of the Nobel Peace Prize with ICANN. But tonight on Ecologic, you'll get to hear her first. Now, Alice is on the board of World Beyond War and longtime anti-nuclear activist, campaigned with ICANN, the Nobel Peace Prize winning international campaign for the abolition of nuclear weapons, which successfully organized negotiations at the United Nations for the new treaty for the prohibition of nuclear weapons. Alice will give the background and hopes of getting the New York City Council to pass this legislation, which calls on the U.S. government to join the new treaty and ban the bomb. Welcome, Alice.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
So, Alice, let's start off and give us a little background of the nuclear ban treaty. How long ago did they start working on it? And where is it going?
This is like a wonderful story because we had another treaty called the Non-Proliferation Treaty that was negotiated in 1970, where five nuclear weapon states, the U.S., Russia, China, France, and England, promised to give up their nuclear weapons if all the rest of the world promised not to get them. And everybody signed this treaty except three countries, India, Pakistan, and Israel, and they went and got their bombs. Now, this non-proliferation treaty had this Faustian bargain. We promised everybody who said, I won't get the bomb, we promised them the keys to the bomb factory because we gave them an inalienable right to peaceful nuclear power.
And we know we don't want that.
Well, just think of this. I mean, inalienable right to life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and peaceful nuclear power. Where did that come in, you know?
Doesn't seem to make sense to us.
Well, it makes sense. There's a lot of money in it, you know, and that was how they kept everybody quiet. And North Korea got their peaceful nuclear power, walked out and made a bomb, and that's what we were afraid Iran was doing, although they said they were not. They were just enriching uranium to use it for nuclear power, but Japan enriches uranium. Brazil enriches uranium. We're not bombing them, but we picked Iran, you know, even though they said they weren't making a bomb. So this is where we were with this horrible treaty, and it was supposed to be renewed in 25 years. So in 95, after 1970, the whole world got together again, and they now had twice as many nukes on the planet as when they promised to give them up. And a whole bunch of new promises were made.
Wasn't the beginning of the so-called nuclear energy program in the UK, which was touted for energy, started to make enriched plutonium for bombs?
Yes, that was how it all started. And actually, Eisenhower announced his Atoms for Peace program because we were testing hydrogen bombs in the Marshall Islands. The hydrogen bomb is so much worse than the atomic bomb. It uses an atomic bomb as a trigger, and the explosion is magnitudes larger. And one of the tests in the Marshall Islands overthrew this Japanese fishing boat, the Lucky Dragon, and Japan was so furious that to get Japan to stay as our ally, you know, after all, we bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki. We killed 170,000 people with two bombs. These are the little bombs. So to get them in our good graces again, we did the Atoms for Peace, and we offered it to them for nothing, and we hired a former Japanese war criminal to sell it, like PR, the peaceful atom, clean, wonderful, cheap, fabulous power, and that's how it started. That was the initial impetus, was to get Japan back on our good side again after we destroyed their fishing boat, you know, from one of our nuclear tests. So here we are. We're back at the UN in 95, and they make new promises. Nothing happens. The only thing they actually promised to do at the end of that conference was to have a review every 5 years and to hold a conference for a nuclear, a mass destruction-free zone in the Middle East. Egypt refused to agree unless we had promised them that. So we never delivered on that promise. Obama was budgeting $1 trillion over the next 30 years for two new bomb factories and new bombs, missiles. This is Obama. Then Trump did it plus. So there was at the last review in 2015, South Africa said, this is like nuclear apartheid. The nuclear weapon states are holding the rest of the world hostage. And there was this 10-year campaign that had started in Oslo to negotiate a treaty to ban the bomb, because the NPT didn't ban it. It just said we're going to make good faith efforts to get rid of them. But we banned chemical weapons and biological. So this was a 10-year process that wound up 2 years ago. 122 countries in the UN voted to have the negotiations and voted for the treaty. And we won the Nobel Peace Prize. That was part of the fun of it, the campaign. And then
that's a biggie.
It was fabulous. I wound up going to Oslo. I wrote it up for The Nation, and my daughter went with me. I mean, it was like it was such a dream that happened.
How super is that?
But the thing is, the nuclear weapon states never went. And the NATO alliance didn't go. They boycotted it. And the three Asian countries under the U.S. nuclear umbrella, which is Australia, South Korea, and Japan of all places, they didn't go. So now there's a huge campaign to get cities and states in the nuclear weapon states, and we call them the umbrella states, all those NATO and Asian countries that are under the U.S. nuclear deterrent. So we're getting a cities campaign, and now it's coming up for New York City on January 28th. This is so exciting. We got a resolution to have the United States call, to have that the New York government is going to call on the United States to sign this treaty and ratify it, because we now have 40 countries or so ratified it, and we need 50 for it to enter into force, about 80 signed. You know.
Yeah, so Alice, what people come back at me with when they're asking is like, New York City, U.S. government, what clout will it bring for New York City Council to ratify this legislation? Give us some, show us the power behind it.
I'm going to sing Frank Sinatra's song. I mean, if you can make it here, you'll make it anywhere. I mean, this
Got
is
it.
New York. I mean, if New York speaks with a loud voice, and we have fabulous people coming to this meeting next, it's on January, 28th? I don't have the paper in front of me.
Yeah, January 28th.
And 28th at 1 o'clock, and we're going to have all kinds of people, including hopefully somebody from the Lenape, who were the first indigenous people here that supposedly sold Manhattan to the Dutch, although, of course, they didn't, you know. And we're going to make a big noise about it.
I'll be speaking for Clearwater. I'll be speaking for myself as a board member of Clearwater, but at least I'll be representing Clearwater.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there for World Beyond War, which is my favorite group, because they want to end war on the planet. It's just like we want to end nukes, but we also want to end war, you know.
Well, yeah. And speaking of that, Clearwater is very active in the in stopping nuclear energy, stopping Indian Point. And Manager Green is the environmental director of Clearwater. She was very eloquent saying that there is a connection between nuclear weapons and nuclear energy, and it's resultant nuclear waste. Nuclear waste is a problem with both aspects of nuclear. Some same communities are impacted. The First Nations in New Mexico, or Texas, and Nevada, for weapons testing. uranium mining, milling, proposed waste storage. We have to take care of all of that on both the nuclear energy side and the nuclear nonproliferation.
Absolutely, absolutely. And when we came to that 1995 conference, you know, to renew the nonproliferation treaty, we formed the Abolition 2000 Network, and we noted the inextricable link between nuclear weapons and nuclear power, and we called for the establishment of an international renewable energy agency, because there's an atomic energy agency, there's the International Energy Agency that deals with coal and gas. There was nothing for renewable energy, and we actually, through our networks, got that energy established. IRENA, International Renewable, and IRENA is the Greek word for peace, which is fabulous, and they're promoting wind and sun and efficiency and geothermal and tidal, all the clean, safe, abundant energy that we should be using right now. And
that's great news.
Yeah, and the waste, you're absolutely right, Don. I mean, I'm on a national call every Friday, decommissioning, because now that we finally got Indian Point is going to shut down, we've been working on that for years, it's sitting like Fukushima on the Hudson or Chernobyl. I mean, we have all this nuclear waste in the spent fuel pool. Nobody knows what to do with it. It lasts for 300,000 years.
Right.
And we're trying at least now to get this corrupt nuclear regulatory commission to agree that when you get it out of the fuel pools, you got to wait 5 years. It's sitting in this water because it's too hot to handle, but then you can move it into, say, you know, relatively safe above ground storage to use the best casks. Like Germany phased out nuclear power, they have these very good concrete casks, and we're being assaulted by this corrupt Holtec corporation that, you know, that has friends on the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, and their casks crack and break, and they don't even last 20, 30 years. The others last 100. So these are like just like the very first step, get it in the right cask. Yeah. That we have to all demand, and then we have to.
What's worrisome is 100,000 years from now, who's going to know what's in that breaking cask?
Well, no, but then you have to have a cask where you can take it out, you know, in 100 years and put it, you know, in another cask. We shouldn't bury it because out of sight and out of mind, and it lasts, some of it lasts for 300,000 years. But we don't know in a couple of hundred years. Maybe they'll figure something out. Like string theory says there's 10 dimensions. You know, we haven't figured it out yet. We only know 4 dimensions, and Einstein discovered time. So since we don't know what to do with it, keep it as safe as we can, as close where it was made. I mean, you might have to move it 10 miles away from the Hudson River, but you shouldn't ship it to Nevada, you know, and bury it.
The first time I heard about dry cask storage was from Marilyn Ellie from IPSEC, Indian Point yeah. Safe Energy Coalition.
Right.
And I said, like, oh, how brilliant is that? I mean,
well, I suggested, I want credit for it, I'm in IPSEC, and I heard it the first time from Grace Thorpe, who was Jim Thorpe's daughter. I was at a nuclear meeting in the 80s.
Huh?
And she had, you know, Jim Thorpe was this Native American that won the Olympics.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
She was his daughter.
I watched that movie when I was a kid.
And she was totally integrated into American society. She had been a WAC. She was married, living in San Francisco. And she went back on a visit to her tribe in Oklahoma, the Sac and Fox tribe in Oklahoma. And they had a corrupt chief that was going to get a lot of money for burying nuclear waste there.
Oh.
And she became an activist and stopped it there. And I heard her say these words of wisdom. I repeat them all the time. Stop making war. Keep it where it is. Put it in the safest container you can find. Don't ship it. Don't bury it. And watch it. That was all we can do right now. That's all we know. And if we would just do those simple things, then maybe in 100 years, while we're watching it, we'll figure out something else, you know.
They said that 50 years ago, that we'll figure out what to do with it.
No, I'm talking about string theory, Ken. They say there's 10 dimensions mathematically. I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying, who knows? we can't be so arrogant that we know everything, but we know we don't know now. We have no idea what to do with it except to keep it in a safe container and not to bury it where it'll get forgotten or ship it where it could explode. Just keep it where it is. You know.
Yeah, more in the relationship between nuclear energy and nuclear weapons. Bob Alpern, a board member of New York, of Hudson River Sloop Clearwater,
right.
He, as well as many other organizations he's been in for the environment, says that Indian Point and other nuclear facilities is a pre-positioned nuclear weapon. Oh my God! Think about it. It's right there.
Well, it
if
is.
If the planes. If a plane had reached it during 9/11,
and they had it in their targets,
yeah,
had a front page.
That would be it.
Story the day after that in the documents they found.
And I'm not giving any terrorists any point. I'm not giving any terrorists any ideas. They've already had that idea.
Well, they had the idea. Yeah. We had boats that sailed up the river to Indian Point. Nobody stopped them. Like, you know, activists on little sailboats or motorboats that went right up the Hudson, right up to the reactors. I mean, we've been living like with dumb luck. And they did. Instead of the World Trade Center, they were considering Indian Point. We would have been evacuated like Chernobyl. You know, we would have been. It's 25 miles from the Bronx.
There's some great property available at around Chernobyl if you want it.
Yeah, I'm sure. Anyway, the best thing about this ban treaty and this. The fact that New York City is going to pass the resolution next week, we know they're going to pass it because we have a majority that already signed it and sponsoring it, is that we're going to, make a big fuss and get our government to act. I mean, who knows? Maybe we'll elect Bernie or Elizabeth, you know, people that'll change. You know, we have to change U.S. policy. You know, there used to be an old comic strip, Pogo, in the 50s by War Kelly, and he had a line, "We've met the enemy and he is us." And I've been studying this, like Stalin begged Truman after World War II to turn the bomb over to the UN, and we turned him down. You know, then Gorbachev, when the war went down, he let go of all of Eastern Europe, was like a miracle, begged us to get rid of nuclear weapons, and Reagan says, yeah. He says, but Gorbachev says, you can't do Star Wars, and Reagan said, I'm not giving up Star Wars. I mean, you got to know it's really between us and Russia because there are now 15,000 nuclear bombs on the planet. There used to be 70. Now there's 15,000.
And insane.
14,000 are in the U.S. and Russia. All the other seven countries, you know, England, France, China.
Well, China made a big statement, I think it was a month or so ago, that the U.S. has the largest amount of nuclear bombs, and they need to they need to be a leader in stopping it.
Well, Trump is being a jerk, as he always is, saying he's not going to talk to Russia unless China talks, but that's ridiculous. China has like 300 bombs. And Russia, and we have 8,000.
We go for a long time talking about the idiocy in that area. Let's go on.
And 2,500 of our bombs in the U.S. and in Russia are pointed at each other on air trigger alert. They're ready to go off. There was this Colonel Petrov. They made a movie about him. He was a hero. He was in the Russian missile silo, yeah. And he saw something on his computer, and he was supposed to let go of everything, and he said, no, I'll wait, and it was a computer glitch, you know. He could have destroyed the world, so anyway, I don't know.
Yeah, more dumb luck, like you said.
Right, we've been lucky, and we shouldn't push our luck. We should support this city initiative and go to all the... Then we should do it in New York State. There are already states that have done it. We haven't done it. There are also cities...
Well, New York
in
City,
US,
New York
like
City can shame
Los
New
Angeles did yeah. already, you know.
Yeah,
so
the cities can shame the states into moving forward.
Right.
Our governor has no shame.
Well, no, but California and Oregon have already done it in the state level, and we're slow right now. Los Angeles did it already, you know, and Washington D.C. has done what we're going to do next week, but. Listen, we can still get into the front line here because we are New York and we should make a big deal out of it, you know. And people can come to the hearing if you want to come to City Hall, January 28th at 1 o'clock. There's going to be a hearing. Donna's going to be talking. I'll be talking. And we have, I think, some First Nation people from the Lenape that were here.
At City Hall, right?
Yeah.
Yes, they're right at New York City Hall. And we have a very sympathetic city council now. I mean, we have to make New York do the right thing right now.
All right. And,
not just
and,
this, on energy. I went to a meeting with 70 organizations working on sustainable energy in New York, and it's slow. They're not doing what they're supposed to do.
And Alice? And everyone else, you're listening to WBAI Pacifica Radio 99.5 FM.
In New York.
It's great that Pacifica does these kind of shows. Nobody ever listens to me like you do.
Well, Alice, we were discussing before, you're almost part of the collective. You're at least an honorary member of the Ecologic Collective. You're on as often as some of our other collective members. As far as the decommissioning of Indian Point and nuclear plants all over the U.S., I'm proud to say that Manager Green from Clearwater is the national leader on safe decommissioning. How do you feel about working through some of these organizations that are working for anti-nuclear energy?
You know, there are lots of good organizations, and then there are organizations that are getting their money from industry, and even though they say they're environmental, they're greenwashes. And we don't have, I'm on that decommissioning group that Amana is leading, you know, which is great that we're doing this. But we don't have consensus that we should all get the best cask, you know. I mean, there's a great group out in San Onofre, California. You should have her on.
Yep.
You know, you should have her on your show because she knows everything. And I've been talking to her. And we have people from, like, you know, the big green environmental, the corporate environmentalists, even like Riverkeeper, you know, or NRDC or some of the, they're not all on the same page with us. It's going to take a lot of sensible grassroots activists. It's going to take, like, electing Bernie Sanders. I don't know what it's going to take. You know, I mean, we just got to, or Alexandria, working with her. You know, she knew about our resolution. We met her, I didn't meet her, but some of our people met her in this Daniel Drum, who's the head of the finance committee. He was part of this Irish mafia that we're working with. They had this counter St. Patrick's Day parade, you know, because the regular St. Patrick's Day parade didn't honor the gays. They didn't let them march. So
yeah, it's March 1st this year.
Well, this whole Queens group, some of our people from ICAM were friendly with Drum and got him to really take this on, and Alexandria was part of it. She was there, and I mean, we have a lot of stars working on this, and we have to really explode a nova of nuclear disarmament, you know, like, to get our government to pay attention.
When the people lead, the leaders do follow.
Exactly.
For those of you who want more information about the resolution, it's Resolution 976. Which calls upon the New York City Comptroller to instruct the pension funds of public employees to divest from nuclear weapons, reaffirming New York City as a nuclear weapons-free zone, and supporting the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons by endorsing the ICANN City's appeal.
Right, which asks the cities to call on their governments to sign and ratify the treaty. You know, so that's the action. And we have another piece of legislation up, which is very unusual, but it's New York. Because New York, you know, the Manhattan Project, which invented the nuclear weapon, started at Columbia University. That's why it's called the Manhattan Project.
And isn't it interesting that Mark Levine, who is the city council member in that district, was the first one to, the last one to sign on to that? Why is that?
I don't know, but probably Columbia was paying him. Who knows? I mean, There's so much corruption here.
Yeah.
But he did sign on. I mean, there was too much pressure, you know. But,
I mean, as you were starting to say, I'm sorry, it carries a particular symbolic weight as
But it's more than symbolic, Donna. Actually,
well,
I didn't
Well, because
know
of where it started with Enrico Fermi.
Yeah, no, I'm saying I always thought it was symbolic, but I didn't know, even though I've been an anti-nuclear activist since 1983, I started, but I didn't know that we have radiation poisoning in New York from the experiments they did with the bomb in Manhattan. Well, they did it in Staten Island. There are polluted spots. There's polluted spots in the city. You know,
Newtown Creek.
Right.
Wait, is that radiated?
Who even knew this? Who knew this?
Oh, I thought that was just polluted. Yeah. I didn't know it was radiated.
Yeah, and the Shadow Alliance was instrumental in getting the Trigger reactor at Columbia University shut down back in 79, 80.
See, I didn't even know any of this history. You know, I came in 83. I was never I started out as an anti-Vietnam War activist.
Me too.
And then I was a housewife, and then I wound up, you know, going to law school when my kids were grown. And so then I'm a lawyer, and I'm not doing any public, you know, I did the war, I did women's rights, civil rights, then I stopped doing everything. I'm doing law, litigation. And I see this thing in the Law Journal, they're having a luncheon for the Lawyers Alliance for Nuclear Arms Control. And I said, oh, that's interesting. I go to the luncheon, and I wind up on the national board, and I'm the
All right, Alice.
And there's McNamara and Colby is on the national board, and I learned everything about nuclear weapons. So anyway, the Soviet Union stopped nuclear testing. They had a march in Kazakhstan. They were led by this Kazakh poet, Ozar Suleimanov, and they had a huge march because the testing at Semipalatinsk in the Soviet Union was causing cancer and birth defects, and the people were disgusted. And Gorbachev said, okay, I'm going to stop nuclear testing. So we went to Congress, this Lawyers Alliance, and said, the Russians stop, we should stop. They said, you can't trust the Russians. So the head of the Lawyers Alliance, who was also president of the New York City Bar Association, Bill de Wynn from the Dutch de Wynns that owned half the Hudson, raised $6 million from his friends, hired a team of seismologists, and we went over to Russia and met with the Russian lawyers and the Russian government and said, let us put our seismologists into Kazakhstan so we'll know that you really stopped testing. And they said, okay. And we went back to Congress and we said, you don't have to trust the Russians. We have seismology there. If they cheat, we'll know. And we were able to stop underground testing in America because of that.
Thank you.
And, you know, and Kennedy tried. They only let him stop in the atmosphere. It went underground. We did another 1,000. And then Clinton, the son of a bitch. I mean, we got a comprehensive testing treaty and negotiated. I mean, first we just had this moratorium with Russia, but we got a treaty. He signed it, and he gave the weapons lab $6 billion. In 92, 93, to do subcritical tests where they're blowing up plutonium in Nevada. It didn't have a chain reaction. And so Clinton said, it's not a test. Like, I didn't inhale, I didn't have sex, I'm not testing. And that's when I joined the Green Party. I was so pissed off. I couldn't believe that he just undercut everything we did. And that's why India tested. India said, if you don't stop those subcriticals at laboratory, we're going to get behind in the, you know, in the technology race. And then they did 7-8 big tests, and Pakistan did, you know, to catch up to us. Anyway, it's the more we win, the more we lose. I mean, Obama made that stupid little treaty with Medvedev where we cut 1,500 warheads out of 8,000, and then he promised $1 trillion for two new nuclear weapons labs in Los Alamos and Kansas.
People don't know
that they're going to make new plutonium pits. This was just voted by Congress with the Democrats, the Republicans. Plutonium pits. I mean, we only use them twice. They're totally unusable. We use two bombs. Why do we need new ones? You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. And Russia keeps begging us to negotiate. you know, Putin spoke to Obama, he spoke to Clinton, Gorbachev tried with Reagan. We could never get anything out of the United States. We're so provocative.
Okay, back in 1963,
yeah,
Pete Seeger sang a song, Never Again the A-Bomb. We're gonna play you a song by Pete. He says, "Take care that the third atom bomb never falls." Well.
A song which comes from Japan. They say that hardly anybody up there has not heard it at some time. Where our old home village was destroyed, we buried the charred bones of our relatives. Oh, we must never allow, we must absolutely forbid another atom bomb to fall. Deadly rain gathers poison from the sky, and the fish carry death in the depths of the sea. Fishing boats are idle, their owners are blind. Deadly harvest of two atom bombs. Then landsmen and seamen, you must watch and take care that the third atom bomb never falls. Furu sato no machi akare. Miori no hane umese akatsuchi ni ima wa shiroi hana saku ayurusu maji genbaku o mitabi yurusu maji genbaku o warera.
And you're listening to WBAI Pacifica Radio 99.5 FM, New York. Alice Slater, you still there?
What a wonderful song.
Yeah. So let's bring it back to New York City. What is the importance? What is New York City doing? If New York City is going to be making a statement against nuclear proliferation, there's going to be no nukes in New York.
That's not the statement, Donna.
No, I know. Yeah, good.
New York is going to talk to Schumer and who's Gillibrand and Trump and whoever else is, you know, the whole New York congressional, that the city and is going to go to de Blasio, the city council, and say, we want our country to sign this and ratify this treaty to ban the bomb. We don't. It's going to add its voice to nuclear disarmament. And we're a powerful voice when New York does that. You know, I mean, if our city council makes a call, look what they just did in Albany on the rent laws. They changed everything, you know. So, you know, I think how else are we going to have power? We have to use political power. And this is wonderful that the people were able to get 34 members of the council to sponsor this. You know, when it started about less than a year ago, we were just doing a letter from Drum to the comptroller, because part of this bill is not just calling on the government to sign and ratify the treaty, but also to divest New York City's pensions from the nuclear weapons manufacturers. I mean, I just read today that BlackRock is going to do sustainability, you know, that disgusting military contractor that's doing gas and oil. They, all of a sudden, they're seeing the light.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
That was great. Great news. That's great for the grassroots. I mean, we've been picketing BlackRock. Hope Pink's been outside their offices all the time, you know, so they got the message, and they're going to get the message from us in New York, and they're going to get the message from New York to the government in Washington.
And we still appreciate it, even though it's still greenwashing.
What?
I mean, when BlackRock and other corporations...
Well, we don't know, but I mean, they had to move a little bit. They're not good yet, so I'm saying, but it shows... It's like when we got Clinton to sign the test ban. That was good. It showed we had power. And then he went and screwed us anyway, you know, by giving the weapons labs money to make new bombs. But I'm saying this was, we never heard any good word out of BlackRock. All of a sudden they're catching their breath and trying to make nice to us, you know. I mean, so this is power of the people. And the more we exercise our power and push them, we'll get what we want, you know. And I really hope we elect Bernie, you know. I mean, he's, you know how what he talks about? He says he's going to, if he's president, he says this all the time, I'm going to get China and Russia and India and Pakistan and other big countries into a room, and I'm going to say, instead of spending $1.5 trillion on weapons to kill each other, why don't we put all that money into a climate fund and fix the earth and fix the climate? I mean, that's what he wants to do as president.
He's the
only... You know, even if they don't let him do it, at least he's putting it out there. You know, we'll have a very bully pulpit saying it. And he also says that this is not about me. I can't do it. You all have to do it with me. I mean,
wait, I thought this show was about you, not about him.
Well, this is about me. This is my alter ego. He is me. He's my Jewish friend from Brooklyn that was protesting the Vietnam War. And everything he's saying now is what I'm saying. So,
and with Martin
I'm
Luther King Day,
political.
And with Martin Luther King Day coming up, Bernie marched with Martin Luther King.
Yeah, no, I mean, you
as
know,
did Pete Seeger.
Yes, I know. But I'm not. I guess I don't know if you're allowed to have political people on your show, but I don't even think this is politics. I think this is a matter of life and death. I mean, just look at how the media has been covering him. You know, nobody wants them except me. Everybody I talk to says, don't be ridiculous, you know, in my generation anyway. The kids are getting it, sort of, you know, which it feels that way. It feels a little bit like the 60s because we had a march on Central Park West against the NRA about a year and a half ago. And there were like 100,000 people on Central Park West in New York. And they were all young people, very few people my age. And they were registering people to vote online. And this new election with Alexandria Cortez, she's in the part of the Bronx Park Tester where I grew up. Anyway, there's twice as many people voted in the last primary as the one before. So there's something happening here, you know. Like, Bernie's raised more money than anybody. Just from, and he doesn't take any corporate gifts. Just that is like a whole breakthrough, a political breakthrough, you know?
I think my enthusiasm for positive feelings about the future started with Occupy, where I first found there were young people that were not apathetic. They were actually engaged and caring.
And
well, they had a place to go and meet other people their age. They knew they weren't alone.
But they also had a great message about the 1% and the 99%. Nobody realized that. And that bum Bloomberg just upended the whole demo, right? And now he's trying to buy the president.
And one thing goes into another. Occupy the pipeline morphed into other. Other organizations, including Sane Energy.
Alice, right. What would you like listeners to do to help move this forward?
Well, it's going to move on in the council. They're going to vote for it, and then call your council person, thank them, and ask them what they're doing to get to Schumer and Cuomo. You know. How are we going to take it up the ladder and get to the president? Or even to get it into the debate. Why isn't that a debate question among the Democratic candidates? And if there is a debate on the Republican side, nuclear disarmament should be part of the debate. Why isn't the U.S. part of this ban treaty? Just keep talking it up, you know. I mean, definitely thank your council member if they voted for it, and give them a raspberry if they didn't, you know, and then ask them what are they going to do now that they voted for it.
You hear that, folks? Step. Call your city council members. Right. Calling your elected officials, emailing, phoning, writing.
It makes a big
makes a difference.
You know, the city council people do not get very many calls. They don't get that many emails even. It's amazing. They can do almost anything with nobody noticing.
When this first went through with Drom writing a letter to Stringo, there were about six of us on an ICANN New York committee trying to get sign-ons, and Drom said, get me 20 people to sign on and I'll send the letter to Stringo. We wound up getting 36 people. And I called my councilman, Ben Callows, and they told me he was on paternity leave. He had his first child, so I wrote him a long letter, how wonderful your child will love you if you take this act to get rid of nuclear weapons in honor of your new child. And he signed the letter. He wasn't even in the office. Somebody got that letter to him, you know. Anyway, I really think we can make a difference. Whatever apathy you felt about politics, this is the year not to be apathetic. All the kids are on the move, the Latinos, the immigrants, my God. I mean, there's so many people upset. In a way, Trump is like a fabulous gift to America. And everybody.
Hey,
you know, let's not go that far.
Well, I'm saying it got everybody up in arms, you know. Yeah. Like, we gave Obama a free ride. I didn't vote for him the second time. I was so mad at him about abominable care and the drones. They had a front page news story how he met every week Obama with the head of the NSA and the CIA and the DSA, and they picked out targets, and some kid in Colorado was shooting them on the ground. No judge, no jury, no trial. And then the constitutional Harvard scholar, and then he boasted how he killed Osama bin Laden and threw him overboard. I mean, after World War II, we had the Nuremberg trial.
Hey, we have 3 minutes left. Give some websites you want people to go to.
Yes, well, you should go to ICANW.org. That's the one that's organizing the city's campaign. It's the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons.org to find out about this. You should definitely.
So it's ICANN.org.
No, ICANW.
ICANW.
ICANAbolishNuclearWar.org.
And
International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear War.
And are we inviting people to come January 28th to the City Council?
Definitely come to the City Council. But if you want the best website, this is the best thing I've ever done. I'm in this new network. I'm on the board, worldbeyondwar.org. David Swanson is the genius behind it. He's a young man. He was Dennis Kucinich's press person. And we're trying to make the end of war on the planet an idea of kindness come. It's not just about nuclear weapons, which are terrible, but it's about war itself. It's just so 20th century. We haven't won a war since World War II. You know, what are we doing here? So I would go definitely and sign up. We want to get millions of people to say we want to end war. And there are other things you can do there. And I think that should give you enough to get going.
Okay, and you'll be speaking at New York City Friends at Clearwater this Friday.
And so will Donna.
And that's 239 Thompson Street at the Judson Church.
That's right near Washington Square Park.
Right. Great. I'm looking forward to that.
The south end of Washington Square Park.
And it's a potluck, so make some food and bring it. And it's a circle song at the end of the night, so bring your instruments and your voices.
I can't carry my piano.
But there's a piano there.
Have you even tried?
Oh, yeah. I could do that. You just put yourself on the playlist. We have a piano there.
Yeah.
You're not getting out of that.
And our website, ecoradio.org, ecoradio.org, and New York City, NYC, Friends of Clearwater.org for that group. And Out FM is coming up, and Naomi is in the house. Oh. And if you came in the middle of this and you want to hear the rest of what Alice said or the news that we opened the show, it'll be on WBAI.org in about 5 or 10 minutes. Well, 10 or 15 minutes. 5 or 10 minutes after every show. So you don't have to miss anything.
And we always do one commercial announcement. We always do want to encourage you to sign up as a BAI buddy.
Yes.
And back this show. Go to the website, WBAI.org, and sign up as a BAI buddy and do the drop-down list for Ecologic. Show us some love.
Okay, and thanks, and we'll see you next week.
Great.
We're on every week now.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alice.
Yeah,
Alice
wonderful.
Slater, you're wonderful.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
Solar power, inexpensive energy.
Hi, I'm Ken Gale of WBAI's Tuesday evening environmental show, Ecologic. One of the cool things about being a BAI buddy is that you get to decide what WBAI is worth to you. Are we worth more than your cable TV? Or 10 bucks a month? 20, 100, a million? Just go to the WBAI.org website and sign up with your credit card. You'll barely notice it. In return, you get a WBAI tote bag to show off, free or discounted entry to special WBAI events, and other perks. Another cool thing about being a BAI buddy is less fundraising interruptions to your favorite programs. Go to WBAI.org. You can donate in the name of your favorite show, like Ecologic.
If I had a hammer, I'd have a little more. Have an evening.
Folk Radio, a weekly eclectic folk music program with rotating hosts, debuts this Tuesday, January 14th, from 10 p.m. to midnight, and will continue each Tuesday evening from then on. Tune in. Each week will be different, right here on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City or at WBAI.org.
tell me a story about your time at WBAI so I can let people know that you, in fact, have returned from retirement.
I retired because I was tired, but I found retirement more tiring than coming to BAI. BAI can be exhausting. Trump's there, and you have to, you know, you have to yak about it. And if you're sitting at home, you're just shouting to the walls. When you have a program at WBAI, you can alert them about Donald Trump.
That's David Rothenberg. Tune in to any Saturday, Saturday mornings from 8 to 10.
This is a well-oiled promotion, please.
Oh, turn the music back on.
In a minute. First, noble human Homer Simpson will explain his primitive yet beautiful culture.